Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on how to receive God's best was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
God has more for us than what most of us are experiencing, and God has more for us than what most of us are even desiring. We aren't even desiring God's best. We have been raised in an ungodly system. And some of you are, well, no, this is the Bible Belt. This is the belt buckle on the Bible Belt. You'd be surprised if you could see things from God. When we stand before the Lord, we're going to be shocked. Saying, you mean I didn't have to put up with this? I had this power on the inside of me. Romans 8, I think either 17 or 18, says that the sufferings of this present world are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not to us, but in us. When we stand before the Lord and we know all things, even as also we're known, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, then all of a sudden we're going to look and say, you mean I had the same power that raised Christ from the dead? Living on the inside, I thought it was out there and the demons were blocking it and I had to pray through. No, it was on the inside of you the entire time. And you mean I had raising from the dead power on the inside and I suffered with pain my whole life. I suffered with poverty. I went around depressed and discouraged when the whole time Galatians 5:22 says I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance living on the inside of me. I was asking God to give me joy when the whole time I had joy on the inside and I didn't know how to release it. Come on. We're going to stand before God and we're going to be just devastated. I think this is why it says He's going to wipe tears away from our eyes. It doesn't mean it's because we're all going to limp into heaven and we're just going to barely get there and we're going to be crying and oh, finally we get to our last reward. No, we're going to be there. And when we see what we could have had and all of the provision that He made and how we missed it, we're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth. And God's going to have to wipe tears away from our eyes and say, it's okay, you made it. But I tell you, we're going to be shocked when God, why didn't you answer that prayer? And it's because it was a stupid prayer. We pray things like, oh, God, just come down and meet with us. Oh, God, be with us tonight. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And yet we're praying, God, come and be with us. How's God going to answer a stupid prayer like that? Well, nobody yelled. Nobody jumped. There wasn't a goosebump going up and down my spine. Nobody rolled on the floor. Nobody shouted. We didn't see the glory of God. Well, you carnal thing. You should have just believed the Word of God when it says that He's with us and just believed it. What? Anyway, I could get off and preach on all that. But look at this in Romans chapter 13. He's talking about paying taxes. I won't read all of that or I'll preach on that. But look at this one verse here in Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Did you know that the scripture says, owe no man anything? And some people, well, this is talking about that you show love and you do all this. It includes that, yes. But if you read it in context, he's talking about taxes. Pay taxes. Render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. You pay your bills. Don't owe any man anything. And I'm aware, and again, please, I could empty this place real quickly. Because there's virtually nobody in here who lives by this scripture. I'm not condemning you or anything, but I'm saying that this is talking about don't owe anybody money. Some people interpret this as there's good debt and there's bad debt. That if you're buying an appreciating item like a home or something, that's good debt. And you know, I'm not even going to go there and argue about that. But I'm just saying that Does anybody think that debt is better than being debt free? I bet you the majority of people in this room believe that. That's what I think, just based on actions. Again, I use this during the offering, but you know what? Most people, let's say that you live in a house that's 1,500 square feet, and if you won the lottery or if you got a promotion, what do you do? Instead of taking that money and paying off and becoming debt-free and then saving your money and buying things, we go out and we will increase our indebtedness because now I've got an extra $1,000 a month coming in or whatever it is, and we will live right up to that limit and put ourselves back in the same position and just get bigger of all of these things and be under the same deal and actually in the long term be worse off as far as our long-term indebtedness. The average American doesn't think in terms of what you owe. It's about, can I make these monthly payments? That's how they advertise cars. They don't sit there and say that this thing's worth $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 or whatever, but the payments are $199 a month. You can do it. And what they don't tell you is it's over 5 years. You know, this is just an ideology. I can't show you a scripture on this, but I'll tell you that if you go buy a car that you pay out over 5 years, just bend over and let me kick you. The average person isn't going to drive that car for 5 years. You'll never get it paid off. You're paying something like 90% or more interest on the front end of that thing. All of the actual payments come at the very end. And if you have a wreck, if your car blows a gasket, if anything major happens, you're going to have to trade and get a new car, and you are going to wind up upside down. Don't raise your hand if you've ever been upside down in a car loan. But I can guarantee you probably the majority of people in here have been upside down because you paid something out of 5 or 6 years. The chances of you keeping that car 6 years and being pleased to keep it 6 years are virtually nothing. And you're going to wind up trading it in, taking all of the main principal that's at the end of that thing and rolling it into a new one and creating a bigger debt, and you're just digging yourself a hole. We do the same thing with credit cards and all of this stuff. Look over here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. This goes right along with what I'm saying here, but Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's giving the blessings and the cursings of keeping the law. And here are the blessings that will come upon you through your relationship with the Lord. And man, they're all good. But for time's sake, let me just jump on down in verse 11, Deuteronomy 28, 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. You know, I could comment on every one of these verses, but there are so many Christians that I've prayed for that don't have children. And they pray and they ask God for it. But you know what? Again, this isn't something that most people see as one of their kingdom rights. It's like they pray, and if they don't see results, well, then they just abandon it. And yet this promises that he will make you plenteous in the fruit of your body. If you put this together with Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says there won't be a single one that cast their young, which is talking about a miscarriage. Did you know you can stand and believe God and you won't have miscarriages? Am I condemning you if you've had one? No, I'm just saying that that wasn't God's best. And one of the reasons that it happens is because we aren't strong in this area. And when problems happen, we don't know how to stand. And Satan is keeping us from experiencing God's best. But there shouldn't be miscarriages among Christians. Not saying that you're sinning. If it happened, I'm just saying God has something better for you. God wants you to be plenteous in the fruit of your body and in your goods and in all of these things. And then in verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land in his season. You know what this means? Is that you can break droughts. If you would sit there and say, I don't have to have a drought. You can pray. And God will heal your land and send the rain. And yet, how many Christians think, well, that's a little fanatical. We can't affect the weather. Well, just tear this page out of your Bible. says, He'll give rain unto thy land in his season and bless all the work of thine hands, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now, am I saying that you're sinning if you're borrowing? No. But I'm saying that not borrowing is better than borrowing. And there's a lot of people that don't believe that. They just think, no, I can have it now. And so they go out and they buy a house. Did you know that the typical person, if you buy your house on credit, are going to pay 2 to 3 times the value of that house? If you buy a $250,000 house, you're going to pay probably over $700,000 by the time you get through doing it. And you know, the American culture says, oh, this is wonderful. What part of $700,000 being more than $250,000 do you not understand? And yet most people, oh, this is good. This says that it's a blessing to lend and never borrow. And I know many of you, if I went by this, I'd never have anything. Again, you've got to be honest where you are. Jamie and I bought a house, and we paid, we bought it on a VA loan, this $60,000 house I was telling you about. But it wasn't excessive. We did it less because we didn't want to be in debt. Matter of fact, we rented for I don't even know how many years, but we probably rented the first 15 or so years of our marriage because I knew that God had me moving and doing things, and I wasn't going to sit there and tell God, well, I've got, it's a bad economy and it might take me a month to sell my house. Jamie and I have always been in a position where within 2 weeks we could be gone anywhere on the face of the earth.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to receive God's best. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1072 for CD or R3215D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK162 titled Don't Settle for Less when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries to help support this radio program and all of the other outreaches. You know, you could visit our website and learn a lot more about what's happening, but this ministry is impacting the world. There is much more than just this radio broadcast. We have a television program that reaches 2.2 billion people potential around the world. 15 Bible colleges. There's a lot of things happening, but you know, it takes a lot of money, especially when we give our materials away to those people who are in need. So if you've been blessed by this ministry and if you'd like to see it continue and be a blessing to someone else, please pray about partnership and then call us at 719-635-1111 and say you'd like to become a partner.